Hello and greetings, podcast listeners. This is your host, Robert, reporting from the Vortex Capital of the World in beautiful Sedona, Arizona. I hope that you are all doing well and giving yourself a little approval and validation for being here right now in this moment. I commend you for your bravery and tenacious attitude as we explore the inner workings of the mind and investigate the ineffable question, who am I? Okay, I want to thank all of the wonderful people out there that have stayed with this roller coaster of a podcast throughout the years. You are truly unique and loved. I also want to thank all the patrons for supporting me in my quest for spiritual understanding and reporting the findings here on the podcast. Now, just a few things before we move on to the podcast. If you do want to support me in what I'm doing, this is a one-man show. It's just me recording these podcasts and editing them, etc. And I want to keep it free from advertising because I don't want any interruptions and just, you know, independent in the content. Please consider becoming a patron today. The website is www.patreon.com/aquietmind. And though I'm almost 60 years old, I've done it. I am on the TikToks, and the handle that I have there is a_quiet_mind. And I just had one of my posts go viral, and I would love your opinions on this new content. So if you're on the TikToks, please check it out. Now, one last thing. This is pretty exciting for me. If you are visiting Sedona, consider taking a tour with Maha. Yes, me. And I go to the sacred sites and the vortexes. I know it's not pronounced properly, vortices, but here, the colloquial way that we say it is vortexes. So I go to the sacred sites and the vortexes. And the tour company that I started is called Blue Bear Tours, and we're on TripAdvisor and Viator, and the website is bluebear.tours. And it would be my pleasure to show you around my hometown and introduce you to this spectacular and mysterious Sedona. 17 years ago, on December 26, 2005, I posted my first podcast on iTunes, and it's called Acceptance. And I'll include a link to the podcast in the show notes. It's a short podcast. It's only 9 minutes and 2 seconds. And I remember doing it. It was suggested by a friend that I was working with at AOL that I do a podcast. And I've mentioned it many times before, but Maddie, wherever you are, thank you very much. You've helped me to probably help some people out there. That's what we wanted to do way back when we first started doing this. And that podcast, of course, yes, it's short, but it's still something that I work with every day. Acceptance of myself, acceptance of my reality, and the radical acceptance of that which just is the suchness of all things. And the other day, I did some calculations and figured that I've been meditating for almost 30 years, and I was a bit shocked and thought to myself, well, did I learn anything after all that meditation time? So I decided to come up with 4 things that I wish I would have known much sooner about meditation in the hopes that it might help people just getting started out on this journey. And I did post that to TikTok and had some reaction to it. And I'd like to share those things with you and see what you think. So number one of the things that I wish I would have known much sooner during my meditation journey, which started way, way back. Number one, sitting without any gaining idea is priceless. Not trying to become anything, not trying to add anything, but just sitting in silent observance of all things as they come and go, and rest in your immediate experience. So through Zazen, we are not gaining anything, but we are revealing our natural state, which is balanced and it's free from duality. And we've discussed that before. The duality meaning that I, Robert, am separate from all other people, all other beings, all other objects, all of the material things, all of space. I am this separate entity. Through that sitting and not trying to become anything, just to sit and just observe, what happens is there is a natural progression. And it may not be the same for everyone, but that natural progression is that after you battle your body and your mind for many hours of sitting, you finally, in a way, give up of trying to control your body and your mind, your thoughts, everything. And sometimes a remarkable thing can happen. And that remarkable thing is that you realize that there is a silent part of your mind that is observing. It's just watching. The silent witness. And we could call that whatever you want. Some people call it source. Some people call it the Buddha nature. Some people call it God. It doesn't matter. It is consciousness in its purest form. And the thing that we might say is the I am that Ramana Maharshi talks about is that pure, unadulterated consciousness, Satchitananda, being consciousness bliss. Number two goes, meditation won't solve all your problems. It wasn't designed to make you a more productive cog in the wheel. As a matter of fact, meditation might turn your whole world upside down. Meditation teaches us to slow down and notice our state of mind and being. Meditation may reveal that we're not happy with our current position. And this is something that hit me pretty hard when I was really getting very involved in sitting at the temple in San Jose, California. And that was being confronted with all of the things that I was feeling uncomfortable with. And I thought that meditation would bring to me a sharper focus and ability to be able to focus longer and be more productive in my life and at work. And for me, it didn't work that way. I'm sure it does for some people, and the mindfulness craze is everywhere right now, and people are putting this practice into their day-to-day to become more productive individuals. And I can't point fingers and say this is the worst thing in the world, but the caveat is that for me, and for you possibly, that, wow, it might turn everything upside down, because when you sit in this fashion and you learn how to be alone and have the solitude and the quiet, you can be faced with things that maybe you thought that you had, that you were done with. In other words, if there are anything in your life that you may have been denying or you may have buried or trauma or things like this, it certainly can arise during your meditation practice. And that's something I wish I would have known much sooner, was that somebody would have given me a clue and said, you know, this isn't all bliss, unicorns and bunnies and happy joy, that what you're going to do is you're going to be sitting here staring at a wall with your eyes open and no net and nothing protecting you, and all of your stuff might come up. So that's just something I really wish I would have known sooner. The other thing is this, what led me on this journey to try to discover more about who we are, why we're here, what this is all about, is there a soul, is there a God, etc., was when I had this profound mystical experience in Lama, New Mexico in 2004. And I know I've gone on and on about this. It's kind of like the people that talk a lot about whatever new interests they have, and that's their whole life now. That's what happened to me. It was such a life-changing moment, and it was so powerful and profound that I just couldn't shut up about it, and I was infatuated with it. And so number three is this, drop the mystical stuff. Stop trying to have powerful mystical visions. It's probably not the point, and most of the Zen folks will tell you that there is no point to meditation, and that's the point. And I don't want to discourage people from experiencing samadhi and bliss and union with the divine and connection with the entire universe. But I do want to just caution, and I'm speaking to myself here, the myself that started meditating 28 years ago that was pretty much fixated on having the mystical experiences. And a lot of that had to do with the fact that I was following the teachings of Yogananda, and there is a promotion of mystical experience within that, the divine union, the yoga with God is the objective, and that connection that you make, you will know. It's undeniable because you'll be filled with bliss. No thought, just bliss, and you'll feel the energy of the creator of the universe, and you will become one with that. The pursuance of that did definitely bring me to a very profound, many profound experiences. Whoa. And I don't, this sounds crazy, I don't see the value in those now that I've been meditating for almost 30 years. I guess maybe they were like little treats along the way, though they were mind-blowing at times. And yes, you know, I was sober during these occasions, and they were like the biggest mind trips I ever took, and they were a big part of my experience. I remember telling my Zen teacher after I was sitting in a long practice period my amazing and blissful connection with the Buddha. And I went on and on about the Buddha and my connection and the bliss and how wonderful it was. And I thought, wow, I have really got it this time because this experience was amazing. There was so much detail. I felt so blissful. I felt so alive, so enlightened. And he looked right at me and he said, Robert, we practice no thinking here. Of course, I wanted to, you know, scream, but I didn't. I was just flabbergasted. I was dumbfounded that he said this to me because I thought, man, boy, you know, when I get to go have my meeting with him, I get to lay out this story and he's going to proclaim me, you know, enlightened, awakened. Oh, he's had a Kensho. next. Anyway, that's the other thing I wish that a little sooner I would have kind of dropped so much of a fixation on having the mind-blowing experiences, because it's evident after all this practice that what is mind-blowing is the ordinary. And that's the last podcast I did. The ordinary is the extraordinary. And that has been the theme for me for many years now. And I did sit in a basement in Jerome, Arizona, and just sat there for hours in this abiding in this non-dual, just not present, not there, nothing, just a taste of bliss and an experience of oneness, and just spending hours in that. And I remember having the experience of, oh my gosh, you know, there's no one to awaken, there's no one to enlighten, that's just an idea. And not wanting to recreate any kind of persona after that, because I had such a powerful spiritual experience. Like I said, I'm not trying to dissuade you from having these because it's just going to be part of it. But speaking to you, I would help you try to redirect you into a different type of focus. And depending upon your discipline, it might all be all about powerful spiritual experiences. I don't know. What is powerful to me is the mundane. That is what the revelation is after all these thousands of hours of meditation, is that which is ordinary right out here in front of my window. I'm looking out, staring at a beautiful juniper tree, and there are some birdies out here, and sometimes the javelina come by and visit us. And the beautiful red rocks are right out the back door here. And that to me is the most powerful experience one can have, really, is just looking and seeing that this suchness, this ordinariness, which is me, which is all of us, is the profound spiritual experience, just in the witnessing of that which is so. So number four is, it's never about what you think it's about. And knowing that you don't know is profound. Like I said, when I began, I had an idea of what I thought this was all going to be about. And I'm sitting here now after all these years and reading hundreds of books and thousands of words and sitting by myself and doing all kinds of retreats and just all kinds of things that I thought would bring about a certain knowing. I never expected to arrive at this point. So it was not what I thought it was going to be. And the other thing is remembering Suzuki Roshi's beginner's mind, and that beginner's mind is limitless. So when we sit with that beginner's mind each time, even though we have sat for years and years and years, when we sit down on the cushion with the beginner's mind, that beginner's mind is limitless. It is limitless. And of course, it kind of comes down to this. I remember seeing some lists of what books would you like to read again for the first time if you had a choice? And it's kind of like that, because that first time you read that life-changing book or that see that amazing movie, that first viewing of it is so profound, and you want to recapture that moment of what it was like to have not seen that before, not read that before, not experienced that before. And I too can get stuck in that, because there are times where I wish that I could experience the Lama thing as a beginner. So I try. I do try. And that really to me is just showing up without expectations. That is showing up and sitting without thinking I know anything about anything. That's showing up in life as a beginner. So that's all I have to say for today. And once again, I want to say thank you all very much for listening. If you have any questions or if you have suggestions, comments, whatever about this podcast, you can reach me at aquietmind@gmail.com. I would love to hear from you. Thanks again, and be blessed today.